I think it's 8 o'clock in Yerushalayim. This is Rabbi Chaim Brabender, Rosh Yeshiva of the Web Yeshiva, and we're going to learn a little bit of about the parsha, an idea from the parsha. Remember, several weeks ago we learned the parsha of Vayeshev. Vayeshev is really the parsha that begins the story of Yosef. The story that effectively ends in the parasha of Vayechi, this week's parasha. So the beginning of Vayeshev, you see the psukim on the board. Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz begurei aviv, be'eretz Canaan. It's kind of, we say something about Yaakov, but immediately transfer to Yosef. Ele toldot Yaakov, Yosef. Ben Shvasrei Shana, Yosef was 17 years old. That's where we start the story of Yosef, even though we know a little bit about what happened before he was 17 years old. But that's where we start. That's where we start. But you have this funny construction in the beginning of the pasuk, Ele Toldot Yaakov, Yosef, that the generations of Yaakov begin with Yosef. Now, this is not, not at all clear, not all clear what that means. So let's look at Rashi. You see the Rashi, it's kind of in the middle of the Rashi, the end of a line. Ele toldot Yaakov. I hope you've got it, right? It's highlighted black. So what does Rashi say about this strange construction, which is confusing? Ele shel toldot Yaakov. This is something that happened because of Yaakov. Ele yishuvehem vegilgulehem. These are the places that they dwelt in the following parashiyot. We're going to learn where Yaakov was, where Yosef was, how he got to Mitzrayim, to Egypt. All of that we're going to learn. We're going to learn. Ele yishuvehem vegilgulehem. Gilgulehem, the rolling of the balls, right? How people roll around in life and get to wherever it is they get to. He says, Eli Yeshuvei Begilguleim Acho Baule Klal Yeshuv. Until they got to where they settled. Where they settled, I guess, is in Egypt. How did the Jews get from Eretz Canaan to Egypt? It's a kind of a complicated story. It's a story that we've learned for the past several weeks. Sibah Rishonah. Sibah in this kind of Hebrew means cause. First cause. Yosef ben Shvasrei Shana, that was the beginning of the beginning. You know that the beginning of a story is not always easy to determine. Remember that in Haggadah, there's like a hidden question in the Haggadah, and that's like, how did we get here? How do we get to be who we are? How are we supposed to understand our trip in history? So you know that in the Haggadah there are three answers to that question. One answer is Avadim Yidul Paro Mitzrayim. That's where it all started. We were slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim. Before that, we were on a different path. We didn't really know where we were going, but suddenly it became clear to us. Avadim Hayidul Paro Mitzrayim. The second answer is mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoteinu. First, we lived in a world of idolatry. And the story of Pesach, the story of getting out of that world, of getting to a new world, now that was not easy. It was, in fact, what happened to the Jews at time of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. But it wasn't easy and it didn't last. And you have to only learn the book of Shoftim, as we are doing in a different, under a different heading. You learn the book of Shoftim, you see how difficult it was for Am Yisrael to rid themselves of idolatry. It was just something that they couldn't do for more than 40 years. In one case, for 80 years. But 40 years and 80 years is not what we think of ourselves. We think of ourselves as ridding ourselves of idolatry. The third answer to the question of how do we get to where we are and who are we in the Haggadah. And the Haggadah is Aramid Eid Avi Vayered Mitzrayim, my father, meaning Yaakov in this case, went down to Mitzrayim. And that's Arami Oved went down to the Aramean who wanted to kill him, actually. So that the beginning of the story is very, very important. Because the beginning of the story, whatever you decide, the beginning of the story is it'll tell you something about the rest of the story. So here we have a statement in Rashi, which says that the story of Yosef starts here, 17 years old, the apple of his father's eye, going somehow to find out where they are, where are the brothers, and everything that happens to them. And so if you analyze each of those steps, analyze each of the steps, you'll understand why each of them was necessary. But that's not what we're doing right now. What we're doing right now is going through the Rashi. And Rashi said Yosef ben Shvarseh Shrei was 17 years old. Al yedei zeh nitgalgel v'yerdu l'Mitzrayim. And it was this caused him, like right now, what's happening right now when he's with his father's house and he's acting like a child, actually. That's where it all started. That's where it all started. The Galgalubi Yardu Mitzrayim, Le Mitzrayim, Vizeo Achar Pshuto Shel Mikra, Leyot Davar Dibur Al Ofanam. So Rashi has this idea that a pasuk, that something written in the Torah, has a pshat. I mean, you can read it and understand it. That's pshat. But when Rashi says Zeo Pshat Pshuto Shel Mikra, he means you have to look a little further. You have to be able to understand a little bit more about what the Torah is saying. So what he says, Zeb Shutosha Mikra, you know that some other interpretation is about to come up. Midrash Agadah Doresh. Midrash Agadah means not exactly Pshat. Something that you have to think about. But you might be able to say this, not pshat. I mean, you might even be of the, if you haven't learned a lot of Chumash, you haven't learned a lot of Chumash with me, that you don't, you might think that it's very difficult to live in a world without pshat. But actually, it's not. Because the world without pshat is the world of Rashi. That's what Rashi wanted us to know. So listen, Medrash Agadah Doresh. There's a medrash that explains this pasuk, but not in the way of pshat, in the medrash way. What's the medrash way here? Talah katuv toldot Yaakov Yosef, that the generations of Yaakov are somehow connected to Yosef. Mipnei kama dvarim. Why did they come to that conclusion that Yosef, that Yaakov was dependent upon Yosef? Achat. After all, we all know that Yaakov was really in love with Rachel. And therefore, and we also know that Yosef looked a lot like his father. The shine of his face was similar to his father's. The kol masha irali Yaakov irali Yosef. And Rashi here shortcuts it. He says everything that happened to Yaakov also happened to Yosef. Ze nistam. This one, Yaakov was hated by his brother. Ze nistam. Ze achim mevakesh largo. Yaakov, his brother, wanted to kill him. Ze achim mevakesh largo. And Yosef, his brothers tried to kill him, or at least considered it. Vechein harbei. And he quotes a source of Bereshit Rabbah. We'll look at a different source in a minute. Va'od nidrash bo, va'yeshev, b'keish Yaakov leshev b'shalva. As Rashi says, there's another drasha, like not pshat. Once you kind of remove yourself from the boundaries of pshat, well, you could have many interpretations. You can't say that one is better than the other, but we can say that Rashi approved of them. It made sense to Rashi. And he goes and he continues. So now, if we turn the page, we could look at the Midrash. Ezra will help me. No, the Midrash. Back another one. Oh, no. Another. Sorry, keep going. That's it. No, another one. Where's the Midrash Rabbah? This is not it. Another one. I mean, we just did this. Rashi to Breishit. Here it is. Bamidbar Rabbah. Great. Thank you very much, Ezra. You see, Bamidrash Rabbah. Midrash Rabbah is a midrash. It's a collection of things that Rashi had to look at and decide whether to include or not to include in his commentary. So he already included, but this Medrash, which is a Medrash of Bamidbar, right? Not our Sefer, we're at the end of Bereshit. But nevertheless, as you will see in a moment, it's relevant. Look at the Medrash. I'm reading. Yaakov v'Yosef shnehem ayu tzadikim gemurim. Yaakov and Yosef were both righteous. Both righteous, okay. I guess. I don't think you have to really prove that in any way. Shnehem ayu domim zeh lazeh. And the two of them, Yaakov and Yosef, you see, Yaakov and Yosef, were similar to each other. Atya kehahi the amar. We bring something that was said by Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Eile toldot Yaakov Yosef. Eile toldot, that's the beginning of that first pasuk that we read. Lo yatzarich keraya lemeimar, ela Eile toldot Yaakov Ruvein. The pasuk should have said, Eile toldot Yaakov Ruvein, because Ruvein was clearly the oldest son. Lama me'amar Eile toldot Yaakov Yosef. So how come the pasuk says the toldot of Yaakov and starts with Yosef, and Yosef was the oldest son of his second wife, Rachel. And he was certainly a lot younger than Ruvein. So how did that happen? Lilamed Shehaya Yosef Domel Aviv Kol Davar, to teach you that Yosef was exactly like his father in every manner. Now listen to the manners that are listed. Ma Yaakov Nolad Mahu. Yaakov was born circumcised. There is a certain number of children every year or so who are born in this way. Yosef nolad mahul. He was also circumcised. Ba'ze haita imo akara. His mother didn't have children. He, Yaakov's mother, Rivka, she had to daven really hard to have a child. Avze haita imo akara. This one too, Yosef, his wife, for a while was barren. Ba'ze nitkashet imo mitzar ibura. His mother was in great pain from the pregnancy. That same thing is true about Yosef and his mother. Maze yalda imo shnayim. Yaakov's mother had twins. Avze yalda imo shnayim. Yosef's mother also had two sons, not twins, but two. Maze achim vakesh lahargo. Yaakov, his brother, wanted to kill him. And Yosef, his brothers, Bakshim Largo. So they're very similar. Not only similar in the way they look or the way they act, but and the events that made up their life, they're the same. Ze achim sonei oto, this one, Yaakov, his brother, hated him. Ve gam chen ze ro'eh ve ro'eh. I mean, it's all the same. He was a shepherd, and he was a shepherd. Zen nistam, this one was hated, that one was hated. I mean, you could say he's going on with the same thing, but it's not. Zen nitbarech biyud brachot, v'zeh nitbarech biyud brachot, right? Yaakov got the bracha, Yosef got the bracha. Out of Eretz Yisrael, v'zeh yotzei chutz la'aretz, and he, Yosef, also went outside of, out of Eretz Yisrael, zeh nasah isha b'chutz la'aretz, v'zeh nasah isha b'chutz la'aretz. Yaakov married in outside of Eretz Yisrael, so did Yosef. Zeh holid banim b'chutz la'aretz, v'zeh holid banim b'chutz la'aretz. Yaakov and Yosef both had sons outside of Eretz Yisrael. Zeh livu oto malachim v'zeh livu oto malachim. Each of them was accompanied at some point in their lives by angels. Zen nitgadel al yedei chalom, v'zen nitgadel al yedei chalom, right? Yaakov reached his height through the dream that he had, and Yosef also had a dream that brought him to great height. Zen nitbarech beit chamav b'shvilo, v'zen nitbarech beit chamav b'shvilo. This one was in the house of his father-in-law, and this was the house of his father-in-law. Zeh yored l'mitzrayim, v'zeh yored l'mitzrayim. Yaakov went to Mitzrayim. Yosef went to Mitzrayim. Ze nechnat. Ze nechnat. What? I have an editor here. My wife is my editor. Yeah, and which one did I miss? I missed it. Zekala et ha-ra'av?
Yeah.
Ah, Zekala et ha-ra'av. Zekala et ha-ra'av. Yaakov brought the famine to an end, and Yosef brought the famine to an end. Zeh shbi'a beno, v'zeh shbi'a achiv. This one, you know, I mean, it just goes on. It goes on and on. Now, we could look into each of these things. We could look into each of these things. Is it really true? Is it, I mean, some of these things certainly are true, but are they meaningful? But the sheer list, the overwhelming number of ways Yaakov and Yosef are seen as being the same. They're not just similar. When the Medrash says that there are 20 different points at which we could say Yaakov and Yosef are the same, well, that must mean something. It can't just mean that they looked upon that as a statistical accident. But they thought of it as being a message. Something to say something, but they don't tell us what the message is. So I thought that the message might have been a message about the position of Yosef in Jewish history. Now, we know that Yosef was a very important person, and he did great things for the world. And he also was the agent that fulfilled divine will. The divine will was to bring them down to Mitzrayim. They should prosper there, but they would be enslaved. Eventually, leave Mitzrayim and get to Har Sinai and get the Torah. All of this was kind of affected by Yosef. He was the one who did it. I mean, of course, Abraham did what he did, and Yitzchak what he did, and Yaakov what he did. But Yosef moved history, as we saw in the beginning, when we looked at the Pesukim in Vayeshev, and Ela told out Yaakov Yosef, that Yosef was the one who generated the history, Jewish history, had a cause, and somebody who pushed it along. And the one who pushed it along was Yosef. So I asked the question this way: why was it that Yosef did not merit being one of the Avot? Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, I mean, it's in the Torah that there are three Avot, and not anymore. But shouldn't there have been one more? Shouldn't Yosef have been one of the Avot? One of the Avot. So in order to understand that there are two sets of psukim that I want you to look at, and I think they'll help us to understand something about Yosef, which is left out of this Medrash Rabbah, Bamidbar Rabbah. So if we can turn the page to Reshit Perek Nun, Ezra, there you go. No, one more, turn one more. Reshit Perek Nun. This is the Rashi. I want the Psukim. Ezra, can you do it? Oh, there you go. Thank you very much. Vayavru yimei mi b'chiyato. It's Yaakov. Yaakov died. And they all of Mitzrayim was mourning. But then they understood that Yaakov was something special. Wasn't a regular person who died. Yaakov was old, but his death was seen as being something very serious. Vayadaber Yosef el Beit Paro lemor. And Yosef spoke to the household of Paro, I mean, whoever was in charge. Imna matzati chein be'enechem. If I found favor in your eyes, Dabruna bazne Paro lemor. Speak to Paro in the following way. Say this to him. Avi hisbi'ani lemor. Hinei anochi meit b'kivri asher chariti li be'eretz Kenan. Shama tikvareini. My father asked, especially he knew that it would be difficult and that it would be problematic, but he wanted to be buried in the burial spot that I prepared, that he prepared for himself in Eretz Kenan. Bury me there. Vata, Yosef says, the critical word here in this sentence is Vashuva. Yosef is saying to the Egyptians, I'm going to bury my father in Canaan. And the Egyptians knew that Canaan didn't hold a candle to Egypt in those days. Egypt was the center of the world. It was the breadbasket of all the Middle East. Everybody came to Egypt to get food to eat. Yosef was now well known to everybody. Yosef was from Canaan. And what Yosef is saying is to them, he says, I know that you're perhaps concerned that I'll take my father to bury him there and I won't come back. So I promise you the Ashuva. And they believed him. And Paro said, I can't imagine that he was entirely without intelligence. Okay, you can go. Vayal Yosef likvor et aviv, and Yosef went up. Vayal, he went up to Eretz Canaan to bury his father. Vayalu ito kol abdei Paro ziknei beito v'kol ziknei Eretz Mitzrayim, and they left together all the elders of Egypt, all the important personalities. They all went together. Pasuk Chet. V'kol Beit Yosef ve'achav u'Beit Aviv rak tapam v'tzonam v'karam azvu be'eretz Goshen. So here you see, he went. Beit Aviv rak tapam v'tzonam v'karam azvu be'eretz Goshen. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes to ask for the same thing from Paro, Paro understood that they would never come back. And he said, Paro understood that. Pasuk Tet, Vayal imo gam rechav gam porashim, Vayeh machane kaved mod, machane kaved mod. Why does he need machane kaved mod? Why does he need such a heavy group of soldiers and chariots all going with him. Okay, I understand it's important, but still, if you're going quickly to do something and come back, you don't need the Machane Kaved mode, I think. Pasuk Yud Vayavo at Goren HaAtad, they came to a certain place, Asher Be'Evar Yarden, on the eastern side of the Jordan, Vayispidu Sham Mispeid Gadol, and they had they mourned him, spoke about him. Vayasal Aviv Evel Shivat Yamim, and they had this mourning period for 7 days. You know, they're doing the real job here. Pasuk Yud Aleph Vayar Vayar Yoshev Haaretz Kanani Et Ha'Evel B'Goren Atad, and the Canaanites was living there, saw what was going on. Vayomru Evel Kaved Zeh L'Mitzrayim, this is a really sad time for the Egyptians. Alken Kara Shema Avel Mitzrayim Asher Be'Evel Yarden, so they called it Avel Mitzrayim, the mourning of the Egyptians. That's how so many Egyptians were there. V'yasu banavlo kasher tzivam. And Yaakov's sons did as they were directed. They mourned him, they prepared him, they got him ready to be buried in the Marat HaMachpelah. V'yisu basuk yud gimel elto banav arza kena'an. Vayikberu oto, they brought him into the land of Canaan and they buried him b'marat Shteya Machpelah, in the what we call today Marat Machpelah. Asher kana Avraham et hasadeh lachzot keber me'eit Efron Achiti al penei Mamre. So you see, Yaakov was buried and Yaakov was connected to Avraham in the burial. When Yaakov said to his son Yosef and his other sons, he said, I want to be buried in Eretz Canaan. He didn't mean, I want to be buried in Eretz Canaan. He meant, I want to be buried with Avram Avinu, with my grandfather. Vayir'u ache Yosef. Ki meit avihem vayomu lo yistameini Yosef v'chashav v'hashev yashiv lanu et kol ha'ra'a asher gamalanu. And they saw Pasuk Yudalad. We missed one Pasuk. V'yashav Yosef Mitzrayma hu ve'echav. Yosef came back to Mitzrayim, he and his brothers, v'chol olim, he told the gibor et aviv achar kavro et aviv. So just remember these words, Ashuva. That's what Yosef said. He said, I'm going to come back to Mitzrayim. I'm going to come back to Mitzrayim. And the last three psukim in this perek, I'm missing a few psukim, but it's okay. In Pasuk Kavdal, it's Yobi Yosef Elechav, Anochi Meit. And Yosef had the same problem that his father had. It came to pass that Yosef knew that he was going to die. Anochi meit be'elim pakod yifkod etchem ve'ela etchem min ha'aretz hazot el ha'aretz shenishba l'Abraham li'Yitzchak li'Yaakov. So that Yosef himself says, ve'ela etchem min ha'aretz hazot El Ha'aretz Asher Nishba L'Avraham L'Yitzchak Yaakov. He himself says that he's not Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Vayishba Yosef et b'nei Yisrael le'mor, and Yosef made them promise. Pakod yifkod Elokim etchem, God will remember you. Ve'alitem et atzmotai mizeh, and then you'll bring my bones up from here to Eretz Kinan, Vayamot Yosef ben Me'ab Ezer Shanim. He died, he was 110 years old, Vayichantu Oto. And they prepared him in the ways that they did in Egypt. Vayas Vayisem Ba'aron B'Mitzrayim, and he was put into an Aron in Mitzrayim, into a casket where he would remain until Yitziat Mitzrayim. So Yosef had to make a choice. Yosef had to make a choice. Is he going to engineer the burial of Yaakov and join him in Eretz Canaan, stay in Eretz Canaan, as difficult as it might be? Or is he going to become, his new identity would be that he, Yosef, is part of the family of Yaakov and not another stage of the Avot. And so Yosef makes that decision. He says to Paro, I know you think that I might not come back, but I will come back because I am part of the people, the community, the nation of Israel. And even though I have a lot of merits, even though I am similar to my father in many ways, and even though it would be easy enough for me to think that I could become one of the Avot, it's not who I really am. I'm really one of the people. I'm really one of the family. And I'm not another level of the Avot. And it may be that even though Yosef was similar to his father in many ways, it's also true. It's also true that Yosef was an Egyptian and was able to function alone in the world as an Egyptian. And it must be, it must be that this caused Yosef some difficulty. And he knew that the children of Yaakov were not perfect. The children of Yaakov were the people who were able to do tshuva, to look at their past history and say, I can improve, I can change. That was not the style of the Avot. The Avot were pretty much perfect in the way they did things, the way they lived. And Yosef knew that his position in bringing all of Am Yisrael to Mitzrayim, that was his job, his destiny, that his destiny was not able to place him in the category of the pure, even though we saw that both Rashi and the Medrash seem to say that they were both tzaddikim. But the word tzaddikim is a word that, has a lot of different connotations to it and doesn't really necessarily mean equal. That if you say those two people are tzaddikim over there, the people over there, it doesn't mean that they're exactly the same. It's a word that gives you a lot of leeway. So even though Yosef was certainly a tzaddik, but he was not one of the avos because he could not be imitated or identified with 100%, having lived most of his life in Mitzrayim and having to prove to the people in Mitzrayim that he was with them, he was one of them. So I think that we end the story of Yosef here at the end of the Parsha of Vayechi. Yosef dies, and he says, I will leave Egypt and go to Eretz Canaan, getting the Torah on the way, right? Getting the Torah on the way, because I, Yosef, I need that getting the Torah. And it could be that Yaakov, as I'll say, that the Avos knew the Torah. They were able to intuit what God wanted of them. And Yosef knew about himself that he needed Matan Torah. He needed to get to Eretz Yisrael, but taking a stop at Har Sinai. That was Yosef. Okay. I wish you all a good Shabbos. Be well.